Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
That's a little better. There are people here. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21 say this. Know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of private interpretation, and no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men, moved by God the Holy Spirit, spoke directly from the exact thinking of the God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Bible. It is the exact thinking of the God, the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the Word of God is the owner's manual for life. It is not a fairy tale. It is not a bunch of myths and stories. It's not a bunch of parables with good morals. It is the exact thinking of the Sovereign of the universe, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we feel good about filling our minds with John Grisham. We feel good about filling our time with video games. And we feel good about Harry Potter and dedicating hours and hours to reading the thick volumes of Harry Potter. But when it comes to filling our soul with a rudder of truth like the Word of God, we reserve the right to be bored. Well, we come to Bible study for the refreshment of renewing, to allow God the Holy Spirit to lead us into the truths of the Word of God so that we can know all the details of the predetermined plan of God the Father, so we can know the voluntary compassion and sacrifice of God the Son, so we can know the amazing resurrection life of the uniquely born one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Keep on being transformed in your thinking by God through the renewing of your mind." And during Bible study, your God, the Holy Spirit, prepares you in humility to receive the Word implanted, which is able to deliver your soul. So thank you for expressing your will with your presence. And thank you for being here to get another dose of truth, courtesy of the God who loves you unconditionally. As God prepares you for the renewing of your mind, let's hear June Murphy worship our Lord in song. And the opening song is, "I Will."
I will sit in the North Assembly.
I want worship of my own. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. These are my five I wills. I am filled with pride. I will. I will. I will.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Challenge us to receive your unconditional love with gratitude. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Welcome to Barah Ministries. My name is Rory Clark. My spiritual gift is the gift of pastor-teacher, and that is a gift that was given to me by God for the purpose of equipping you believers in Christ for the work of service. It was also a gift given to me so that I could evangelize to unbelievers and invite them to the reconciliation offer of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This ministry is designed for people who want to open themselves to what the Lord Jesus Christ has to offer. And he has to offer a personal relationship that is powered by unconditional love, a deep and intimate and personal relationship given as a gift to us from God, and a relationship that is intense and personal and passionate. Today's study, Gratitude for Unconditional Love, is reflected in action. Gratitude for unconditional love is reflected in action. But first, a few announcements. There are going to be some changes in how we handle lessons coming up here in the near future. One of the things that I intend to do is to move these announcements into a separate section. So perhaps record them after the third lesson so that we don't have lessons on the internet that are dated by announcement information. So probably we'll start that in a couple of weeks, that this part will be moved out of the lesson and into a separate place. So we'll probably have a separate place on the website, so every week you can go there, and if you want to hear what the announcements are, they'll be there. Because this takes up a lot of time that I would rather dedicate to something else. And the something else is we're going to use this third lesson as a lesson where you can bring people who have not been to Barah Ministries before. And we're going to make the subject matter of that relevant to people who haven't been here before, because we have visitors today, and sometimes, you know, they come and they're kind of caught right in the middle of a lesson where I'm yelling at you or something, like today, right? And so, if those of you who missed the second lesson, you might want to get it, because I called a few people out, including you, my older son. And the calling out will continue in this lesson for you, so I'm glad you're here. But so anyway, it'll be good to have these lessons for new people that you bring, and it'll give you a chance to bring people, because maybe you didn't want to bring people into the middle of our lesson because you don't think people are smart enough to assimilate things. I happen to think they are, but maybe you didn't. So now you don't have to worry, because we'll have a lesson which everybody will be able to assimilate, and it'll be in this third slot. And it'll be in the third slot because maybe your friends are like most of you, and they don't want to get up early and come to the early lesson. And so, therefore, the later lesson will be there so they can come a little later. They can sleep in. How's that? Amen?
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you very much. All right, here are the announcements now that I've insulted you. Next Lord's Supper celebration is next week. Homecoming for the soon-to-be resident congregation. Remember, October 5th and 6th did not work, so we're going to try September 28 and 29. So we're going to get that going. Now, I just arbitrarily appointed Amanda Alburn to take the homecoming, and it was suggested by the deacons that maybe somebody else will want to take that homecoming responsibility and put a little different flavor on it and give Amanda a break. And I'm all for that. So if you'd like to coordinate the homecoming later this year for the soon-to-be resident congregation, please let me know. I'd be happy to have you show you exactly how to do that. Here are the things, the dates that you should mark on your calendar for the rest of the year. No face-to-face Bible study. Two straight weeks, August 25th and September 1st. That's the first time that's ever happened in Barah Ministry, so mark that. We will have lessons up anyway, December 8th, December 29th. So for the rest of the year, pretty much we're here, and so that'll be really cool. Happy birthday to Cheryl Vallejo, July 5th. Did you have a good birthday, old lady? Did you get the walker that I sent you? Or, no? All right. What did you do on your birthday? You worked? Well, now that's exciting. Dog. You didn't help your wife out?
She couldn't take it off. Otherwise, bad.
That's all right. You make it up in Hawaii later. All right. Thank you to the deacons for three fantastic lessons last week. Do you agree with that? So I was sitting in Hong Kong listening to these lessons, and Deacon Caleb was his typical angry self, which was awesome. And so I sat there, and I was going, yeah, yeah, man. And then Elliot came in and gave a very insightful lesson, and I said, all right, for a change. And then Denny gave a very personal lesson, and I thought that was amazing. So I thank you for three great lessons and for standing in to the gap very effectively. Barah Ministries has a website at barahministries.com, and we've been making several changes to the website. We turned off all lessons except the lessons for this year. We revised our doctrinal statement, which is we believe everything that's in here. That's our doctrinal statement. And I think it's pretty clear we're going to add a couple things to that. I think Elliot and Deacon Elliot and Emily put together the first lesson that can be taught to teenagers and kids. That will go on the website coming up pretty soon. So we're really starting to get the hang of the idea that there are spiritual gifts in each of you that need to be deployed. And I've been talking to Deacon Elliot for about 3 years, I think, about him deploying his spiritual gift in the form of actually getting it on the website. Because he is my son, he, of course, does not have to listen to me. Right? So thank you very much for that. But he put together a lesson yesterday with Emily that's going to go up, and it's really awesome. So I was really excited about that. Better late than never. But we have video on the website, so every lesson is videotaped and placed on the website. Every lesson is on audio. You can sign up for podcasts, and they will automatically download to your iPods. And so I told you about the other couple of things. Also, a thank you to Matt Maroney, who created a Barah Ministries app. Yeah. Everybody out there is going, what? Yeah. And not only did he create a Barah Ministries app, if you have an Android, you can get it today. You can download it today. Apple will be coming online in a couple of weeks. And it's actually an amazingly good app. So you can play some of June's music. You can donate. You can get all the lessons. You can get to the website. It's really cool. Yeah.
Whose phone number does it call when you say click to call?
I don't know.
Caleb.
Is it Caleb? I think that laugh was torture. Is that what? Oh, yeah, that's right, because it has one call us.
Yeah, click to call.
Yeah, it has one email us. And so, huh? Caleb, yeah. Yeah, but I'll get him. Yeah, please, call him a lot. 3 a.m. And Brielle showed me the app last night on her phone. So she has it on her Android if you want to see it at the break. But it's really cool. And so thanks to Matt for that. And here's the thing that's so cool about that. I didn't tell Matt to do that. Matt wanted to do it, and so it got done. And see, I was talking about that in the last lesson, that this isn't a business. You know, and the president doesn't have to tell you everything to do. You have a spiritual gift that was given to you by the president, and you use it the way you want to without coercion. Which is amazing. And honestly, this is an amazing app. I know a lot about technology. And the way he constructed this was intricate and effective. And I'm really happy about it. So please check it out. What I'm not so happy about is Pal Talk. I'm happy that we're there and we're experimenting with a live feed. But we're not having a lot of success yet with it. But we will. And so those of you who are on Pal Talk and listening to us live right now, we're sorry that it's been rough, but we will work out the bugs. And I'm really happy that we're doing it. Thanks to Larry Collins. Thanks to Deacon Caleb for getting that started. Thanks to Deacon Denny for holding down the talk button so people could hear today. How we get on Barah Ministries on Pal Talk is go into paltalk.com, download the software, choose a nickname, sign into the Royal Family Room. That should be changed to Barah Ministries Room, and I'll change that next week, and then listen. So during the week, 7 p.m. Central Time, our replays of lessons, and then on Sunday, the live stream is what we're working on right now. So that's exciting. We're going to be changing hotels coming up here pretty soon, probably within the next couple of weeks, because we're outgrowing this one. And we need more space, so we're going to go down to the Hilton. And they've welcomed us and offered us a nice thing. And the only bad thing about it is we're going to have to take lighting down there because, you know, you can't see a brother when he's standing up front down at the Hilton. But we're going to have to get some lighting, amen? Because we got to see the brother's face. We don't want to just see teeth talking, amen? So stay tuned for that. It'll be on the website, but it'll be announced. It'll probably be 2 or 3 weeks from now, so we'll give you a chance to get used to the idea. The Coeur d'Alene Bible Conference is August 9th, and we need to know by this evening if you need a room at the hotel. The rate is $129 a night, but it's going to go to $169.99 a night after today. So if you want to get to that conference and you want a reasonable hotel rate, you might want to book that today. So tell me. And I'll pass it along to John and Monica Miller. So, congratulations to Lighthouse Bible Church, who on Wednesday had their first lesson at their new church. So, Pastor John Farley was so happy. He was the loudest clapper. Hey, how you like the new building? It was dynamite. I told him yesterday, I said, I don't blame you because when we get our new building, I would be the loudest clapper too. As a matter of fact, I'm going to do something crazy. I don't know what it is, but when we get it, we're going to have fun. But I'm really happy for Pastor Farley and for Lighthouse Bible Church. And his new podium is so humongous that it looks like there's just this little head above this humongous podium. But to Pastor Farley and to Mark Pomeroy, Deacon Mark Pomeroy, and Deacon Brian Tappert, and all the great people at Lighthouse Bible Church, your friends here at Barah Ministries couldn't be happier for you. And I look forward to coming down and seeing your new digs. So let's do the offering. Guests, this does not apply to you unless you just want to. This is something that we regularly do. Let's welcome up Deacon Elliot Clark.
Here to give another insightful offering. Anywho. God provides the Word of God through His grace, and we hope to reflect His grace. There is no charge for any of the Bible doctrine here at BarahMinistries.com, which allows anyone, anywhere, to freely receive the Word of God. We're a grace ministry, and we want to reflect His grace. So gratitude for the Word of God inspires believers to give of their time, their talent, and their treasure. The Bible tells us in Philippians 4:19, "And my God will supply all your needs according to the riches of glory in Christ Jesus." You know, God supplies our needs by the people that He places around us and the relationships that we form. And in Philippians 4, Paul was expressing his gratitude to the church in Philippi, because they were really the only ones that were supporting him when nobody else was. And that's kind of how giving is. You know, we've been talking a lot about giving, and a lot of times it's just one person or one group that is really taking the brunt of giving. And it reminded me of how geese fly in a V formation, and there's always one at the point taking the brunt of the air so that the others in the back can have a smoother ride. And what they're supposed to do and what they do is the point drops back and someone else, another goose, takes the front. And I'm sure they don't get into fights about, like, one never taking the point. One always takes the point. And as believers, that's what we should do. But a lot of times, you know, one of us or a small group takes the brunt of the giving. And just like Pastor Roy was talking about, Matt made that app. And when he told me about it, I thought, I didn't even know Matt could do that. You know, so that's kind of like a lot of gifts. We're surprised by what people can do. And it's not always the pastor at the front taking the brunt. You know, each of us take our turns taking the brunt of the resistance so that others can enjoy the leisure of the Christian way of life. And that's the way that God supplies all of our needs. And Barah Ministries definitely has a need. You know, Pastor John Farley and his church just got their new building, and that's our main priority, is to get a place on the lot that we have. The first step in doing so is getting an architect, and that's going to cost us $20,000. Right now, we currently have $12,500 of it, so what's left is $7,500, and that took me a long time to calculate because I'm not that great at math. But so that's the main priority, is getting $7,500 for the architect so that we can get the plans underway to getting the building. And I want to continue for your giving. You know, it's always fun to construct an offering message, but I don't think people need to be motivated to give. I think you're going to give what you want to, as 2 Corinthians 9:7 says. You know, give as you purpose in your heart. And just know that giving is not always comfortable. So thank you for your continued support of this ministry, and take the point. All right.
Do you agree that He's holy? Yes, we all agree. And do you agree that He's worthy? Yes, we all agree. Do you all agree that powerful and mighty? Yes, we all agree. of unity that you're worthy, worthy of our praise. Oh Lord, we agree with our whole hearts. We proclaim to thee that you are the King, the
to James chapter 1. What Deacon Elliott forgot to tell you is that when those geese are in the V formation, the point goose is taking up 60% of the wind drag away from the geese in the back, and what they do for him is they honk. Honk, 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 honk to encourage. And we talked in the last lesson about how discouraging it can be sometimes when people keep parading into your life and they are used by the kingdom of darkness to get to the pastor. You know, every one of you is a back door for this pastor. And your job is to keep the back door closed. And a lot of times we don't do that because we as believers in Christ act like we're naive. But we're not naive. By the way, what Deacon Elliott was talking about to you guests is everything here is free of charge. There are CDs in the back, June's CDs. There's my book, And You Will Be Saved, which is a salvation message. And there are Bibles, so help yourself. There's no charge because somebody else paid for them already. It's like I got to go to Northwestern because somebody paid so that I could go to Northwestern. That was pretty cool, right? Somebody always pays the bill. Today's study, gratitude for unconditional love, is reflected in action. You know what I did with the gift of Northwestern? I went out and made myself wealthy. I went from rags to riches as a tribute to the people who paid my tuition. And that's what this lesson is about. Gratitude for unconditional love is reflected in action. Gratitude for unconditional love is not something that you just take and think you're entitled to and then just sit there. It's reflected in action. Now, I'm thinking that my mother may have lied to me because she told me that I was born in Illinois, in the land of Lincoln, but inside I feel like I must have been born in Missouri, the Show Me State. Because when it comes to simple common sense matters, I want to see action. I don't want to hear talk. And James was the apostle from Missouri. He was Mr. Action. He was the Lord Jesus Christ's half-brother. And he was all about action. Not literally, he was not literally from Missouri. I don't even think Missouri existed at that time. But figuratively, he was from Missouri because he was a show me guy. James chapter 1, take a look at verse 22. James chapter 1, beginning at verse 22. James is calling to Christians. And what is he saying? He's saying, prove yourselves to be doers of the word. That we are not to come to Bible study and hear it and think, oh, wow, that's a nice, sweet message, and then go out and do the same things that we were doing before. That's not what Christians do. We're different from the world. God calls us to a standard of conduct. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Prove yourselves to be doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Who are people who delude themselves? People who delude themselves are people who define themselves by a little box. And they play within that little box when they have so much more than that inside of them. God, this magnificent God who created us to be unlimited in our thinking. And yet we settle for a limitation, a little box, which we can play in. And James is saying, no, prove yourself to be doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. Now, when we're hearers who delude themselves, who are we deluding? What are we deluding ourselves by doing? We're settling for what the world says is success. And what the world says is success is you exchange the hours of your life for a paycheck and call it security. And then the next thing you know, you're 65, you're retired, and you're sitting on your butt for 25 years waiting to die without enough money to do it. And when you don't know how to do something, you say, I don't know how to do it. And then the opportunity to do it keeps presenting itself and keeps presenting itself, and you keep rejecting it by saying, I don't know how to do it. So you don't grow. And then nobody wants to be around you, and you can't understand why. Prove yourselves to be doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. We're not just deluding ourselves. We're believing the deluder. This world is out to delude you. It is trying to get you to believe that you're somehow going to get something without working for it. That you're somehow going to get something without effort. That if you pledge your fortune to a bank by buying a house, that you shouldn't pay it off too early because you have a tax problem. No, you should pay off your house. You should own your house, not the bank. But we believe that crap. Prove yourself to be doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. James 1:23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, first class condition if in the Greek, and people are, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror, James 1:24, and once he's looked at himself and gone away, has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. James 1:25, but one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, the word of God, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. What is this saying? That we come here to learn the word of God. And it's not just academic learning like book learning, where you come and you look at it, and if you weren't paying attention at that moment because your mind drifted off while you're beating yourself up with a rubber hose about all that you're not, which is not what the word of God is designed to do. That if you drifted off for a moment, you didn't get it, you missed something. God, the Holy Spirit, implants this into your soul and will bring it to your remembrance. That's what the Bible says. And so this is designed to put a rudder on your life so that your life doesn't suffer shipwreck. A guide that navigates you through difficult waters. That's what we're talking about. So here's my question for you. What is the proper response to unconditional love? Because God created you and he loves you unconditionally. And whether you believe that or not is inconsequential because it's true. Sometimes you believe what's true and sometimes you don't. But that's what happened. Now, what is the proper response to unconditional love? The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross to pay for every sin you'd ever commit, past, present, or future. They were credited to him and judged so that you wouldn't be judged for them. And now, what? What will you do with that love? Because when he was perched on that cross, being crucified, the worst death that you can suffer as a human being, he had your name personally in mind. And he could have gotten down at any moment. He is deity. He could have gotten down at any moment. There are some of you who, if it had been me, I would have gotten down. Amen? You know who you are. But he didn't get down. Why? Because he loves you unconditionally. A love that is so big, we can't even wrap our arms around that. But God compares himself to Hosea, a man who married a prostitute. In Hosea chapter 2, verse 14, and it says, "Therefore, behold, I will allure her, the prostitute, bring her into the wilderness and speak kindly to her." That's God's attitude toward you prostitutes. Hosea loved his prostitute wife, even though she was a woman who handed over her sexual favors to every passerby, whether or not they showed interest. We're just like that. God loves us unconditionally. He created us, but we don't have time for him because we're too busy prostituting ourselves to so many other things. One of the things that's absolutely amazing to me, and it either has to just be a run of bad luck or it has to be a spiritual concept, is every time we get visitors here who decide that they want to really listen to what Barah Ministries has to say, all of a sudden their work schedule changes on Sunday. Now, that's either a tremendous coincidence that it happens to every single person, or there's a spiritual concept there. I think it's a spiritual concept. We talked about it in the last lesson in Ephesians 6:12. I've asked you many times how you would respond if I brought a woman into the congregation, introduced her as my girlfriend, and told you she was a prostitute. I asked, but I know the answer. We'd be Pharisees. We wouldn't be understanding. We wouldn't be Christian. We'd be Pharisees. We'd be judgmental. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 7, verse 30. Because prostitutes are a kind of person to us. It's not an action. It's a kind of person, and they're that kind of person, but we're not. We're better than that. No, not really. Luke chapter 7, verse 30. We're going to go to 35. Luke chapter 7, verse 30. It says this, "The Pharisees and the lawyers rejected God's purpose for themselves, having not been baptized by John." This was the age of Israel, transitioning into the age of the hypostatic union, and water baptism was a symbol. It was not the means of salvation, but it was symbolic. And the Pharisees didn't think they had to do it. These were the religious guys of the day. Luke 7:31, "To what then shall I, the Lord Jesus Christ, compare the men of this generation and what they are like, these Pharisees?" Luke 7:32, "They are like children who sit in the marketplace and call to one another, and they say, 'We played the flute for you, and we did not dance, and we sang a dirge, and you did not weep.'" Luke 7:33, "For John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say he has a demon." See, in verse 32, the Pharisees were like little kids. They were goofballs. They completely rejected their Messiah. These were the religious people of the day who had studied for 20 years to be Pharisees, studied the Old Testament scriptures, should have known exactly through the rituals of the Old Testament scriptures what the Messiah would be like, where he would be born, where he would grow up, what signs he would do that would point the Messiah. They were clear, yet they rejected him. They were like little kids. And so when they saw the people that had been pointed to, like John the Baptist, what did they say? Oh, he has a demon. Luke 7:34, the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, has come eating and drinking. And what did they say? Behold, he's a gluttonous man and a drunkard. They called Jesus Christ a gluttonous man because he ate the finest foods. You've heard that if you're a Christian, you should have an ascetic lifestyle. You should have a lifestyle of self-denial. Jesus Christ didn't deny himself. There was a reason why they were dividing up his garments at the base of the cross. And it wasn't because they were lousy, cheap clothes. They were the most expensive clothes you could have at the time. He ate great food. He drank the best wine. He didn't get drunk. They called him a drunkard. And he was a friend of the two most vermin individuals that you could possibly be at the time, a tax collector and a sinner, which is a prostitute. And that's who Jesus hung around with, tax collectors and prostitutes. Luke 7:35, yet wisdom, the word of God, is vindicated by all her children. In other words, our actions will vindicate us. We don't worry about what we're called. John the Baptist's actions vindicated him. He did what God asked him to do. We're to do the same thing. But if I told you that the woman that I'm dating is a prostitute, you'd be judgmental. You'd be like the Pharisees. You'd be non-accepting. And it would put your Christianity to shame. Why? Because we're doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. Edmund Burke said, all that's necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. And a lot of times, that's what we do as Christians. We do nothing. When it was time to go to the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't sit and do nothing. And as a ministry, we can't sit and do nothing. We need to show our gratitude for salvation and our gratitude for the Word of God with action. I like what Deacon Elliott had to say. I didn't even know that Matt could do an app. I didn't either. There's nothing that you could look at Matt and say, Matt knows how to do an app. But Matt did an app, and Matt did an app. And there are people in this congregation who do stuff, who know stuff. You know, there are people in this congregation who put their butts on the line. Raphael put his butt on the line for my son. That's a big deal. Right, that's the kind of stuff that ruins churches. He put his butt on the line so my son can have a job. And my son is going to treat that gift with the respect that he was taught to treat it with, or I'm going to beat him to death. Because you see, my older son hasn't figured out that grown men need cars. Right, so he uses the congregation as a taxi service. Because he hasn't figured out yet that grown men need cars. And many of you are very gracious to be his taxi service. As opposed to telling him, why don't you grow up? Amen?
Amen.
Amen? Tell him to grow up.
Amen.
Taxi. You think this is funny?
No,
I don't think this is funny. It was a good joke, but I don't think it's funny. Because we're not takers as Christians. We don't mind taking, but we give as well. But some of us take so much that we think we're entitled. And we take for granted the unconditional love of the people in this congregation. This is a great group of people. Very generous. And we don't take advantage of that. So it's not really funny, but I know you like being funny. But I put takers on notice in the last lesson. Because there are a lot of absolutely amazing people in this congregation. The way you help is amazing, honestly. Appreciated deeply. And miles to go before we sleep. We're not quite walking in a manner worthy of the calling to which we've been called yet, but we will. And part of that is going to be we're going to call a spade when we see it. We're not going to allow the taking. And no, Jenny, I was not talking about me. I am not a spade. Jenny was laughing. She thought I was talking about myself. That's not the spade we're going to call a spade. Amen? Some of you don't even understand that. I'm not prejudiced. Why are you saying that? Black people are called spades sometimes. Did you know about that? Yeah, see, so I just wanted to help you out sometimes. You know, coon, spade, you know. Jigaboo, the N-word, you've heard that one. You're just nice. But look, when it was time to go to the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't sit and do nothing. So as a ministry, we're not going to do that. We're going to take action. Take a 5-minute break, and I'll tell you what I mean. Welcome back. So what I see happening to human beings is that we receive unconditional love. You know, the whole theme of the last six lessons has been, all right, we're on the subject of unconditional love. How do you walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called? How do you give unconditional love? And what do you do when you're the recipient of unconditional love? And what I see happening to human beings is that we receive unconditional love and we turn it into an entitlement instead of turning it into an opportunity. God doesn't owe us breathing. He doesn't owe us a heartbeat. He doesn't owe us salvation. He gave. So why do we have to wait for moments like the one that happened in San Francisco Airport yesterday to come to Jesus? Because an Asiana Airlines jet crash-landed yesterday, killing a couple of people and wounding many. And Samsung executive David Yun, who was on the crash flight, was among the first to tweet and send photos of the heavily damaged Boeing 777. He said, I just crash-landed at SFO. The tail ripped off. Most everyone seems fine. I'm okay. It's surreal. Yun shared information about fellow passengers and photos from the crash site, gaining thousands of new Twitter followers as he posted updates. And then late Saturday afternoon, he tweeted, just went through customs. Adrenaline is subsiding. Just trying to process all this. Really glad that most everyone I saw seems okay with just a few minor injuries. Thinking a lot about family and friends right now. So why do we have to wait for those moments to think about Jesus? I wonder what his spiritual status is. I wonder if he was thinking when he boarded the plane that this might be his last flight ever. Probably not. You know, I was thinking yesterday that when I booked my flight to Hong Kong, I was going to stay an extra day in Hong Kong on Friday and then come back on Saturday, which means that I would have been right at that airport, right at that time. And for some reason, I decided not to stay over Friday, and I got back Friday. So I didn't have to go through all that crap. But I always think, you know, I wonder if this is my last flight. How about you? What in your life reflects gratitude for the unconditional love displayed on your behalf by God and the people in this congregation who are serving him on your behalf? I think we can ask this question without it being guilt-inducing. I think we can ask this question without it coming off as condemnation. I think we can ask this question and have you genuinely consider the answer to the question. See, Barah Ministries exists to evangelize to unbelievers. If my teaching is so great as you claim it is, why aren't you each bringing an unbeliever to a lesson every week to show your gratitude for the teaching and to show God your gratitude for the salvation that he provides? Barah Ministries exists to teach the word of God to Christians. Is that the folks that were here? They can come in. Come on. Don't worry about it, man. We're glad to have you here. You didn't bring a brother no coffee, though. I see that. It's all right. I got my coffee. It's just cold. You know, it's kind of iced coffee, but it wasn't intended to be iced coffee. So Barah Ministries exists not only to evangelize to unbelievers, but Barah Ministries exists to teach the word of God to Christians. And if my teaching is so great, as you claim it is, why aren't you each bringing your believer friends who are exposing themselves to Christianity light churches and hating it? Why aren't you bringing them? You okay? Cool. Just a recommendation. The lungs don't like liquid in them. So I would recommend not sucking saliva into your lungs in the future. Amen? Thank you. Thank you, brother. So if my teaching is so great, how about bringing your friends who are going to Christianity like churches here so that they can hear some solid truth? Because I've been to all the Christianity-like churches in my lifetime when I was searching for, as I exited Roman Catholicism, and I was looking for a place to land. And Christianity Light Church, to me, is a church who doesn't get to a Bible verse for 45 minutes, and a church who is, you know, 95% music, 3% offering, and 1% message. This church is exactly the opposite. It's 90% message. We got a great singer who makes great CDs when she feels like it. And no, I'm not letting it go. Makes great CDs when she feels like it. And, you know, it's all free of charge. Yet it's not attractive. Really? I think it's attractive. Do you think it's attractive? Do you think it's attractive enough to bring your friends? Barah Ministries exists to do missionary work, raising independent churches and sponsoring pastors throughout the world as God provides the opportunity. Why aren't we doing any of this work? You want to hear something embarrassing? So I was on my way to Costa Rica a couple weeks ago, and I'm at the United Airlines lounge, and a guy is sitting there with his laptop open, and he's got the word forgiven across the front of his laptop. So I'm on vacation. I'm in a little squirrely mood, so I'm going to have me a little fun, because nobody looking at me thinks I'm a pastor. You know, maybe they think I'm a pimp. You know, they don't think I'm a pastor. And they're wondering how the pimp got in the United Airlines lounge, right? So I go up to the guy and I said, forgiven, what does that mean? Forgiven for what? What did you do that was so bad? He said, I'm forgiven for my sins. I said, what sins? He said, well, what I'm really talking about is Jesus Christ. He said, Jesus Christ forgave me for all my sins. I said, all of them? He said, yeah, all of them. I said, really, all of them? Like everything you do is just forgiven. He said, well, it's not exactly like that. I mean, you can't just go doing what you want. Really? Because in my life, I've just done whatever I wanted, and it hasn't been a problem. I don't really understand what you're talking about. So he kept talking to me. I said, okay, well, that's really intriguing. So I went and sat down, and then, you know, that was kind of fun, right? So I got back and started talking to him. Well, long story short, he embarrassed me, right? Because he started talking about a group that he's in called the Hellfighters. And it's an evangelistic ministry designed to tell people about Christ. And he told me about how every year he and his wife go up to Sturgeon for the Harley Festival that happens, where about 1 million people descend on Black Hills of South Dakota at Mount Rushmore. And how a lot of the guys, the bikers, take their girlfriends up there and then beat the crap out of them and dump them up there. And he has a ministry to evangelize to them and to help them get the money to get home. And he just kept telling me one thing after another. And then he starts bringing out all these publications. This is a publication for teenagers that teaches the Gospel of John to teenagers. And this is a publication to blah, blah, blah. And this is a publication to blah, blah, blah. And this is a publication to blah, blah, blah. And then we do this and we do that. And if you want to call me and, yeah. And I got mad. That made me mad. Because I had two deacons sitting over on the other side of the room drinking beers. Feeling me on that? Now, they were supposed to be drinking beers because they were on vacation. But the point is this: what's our evangelistic activity? You know, we bring somebody once in a while when we feel like it, and then I'm supposed to believe that I'm this great teacher. I know I'm a great teacher. Why aren't you bringing me hearers? Because here's what I know. We don't live in China. I was just in China. I was talking to one of the most powerful women I have ever met in my entire life, and she was talking, and we were talking at breakfast, and she said, I'm from China. There is no God. That's not our circumstance. If I was talking to that same powerful woman who was at an American company in the United States, and I talked to her about God, she'd be intrigued. And she would at least listen to a lesson. And we have these opportunities in front of us every single moment to evangelize. people about this person who loves us unconditionally. We receive this unconditional love. But do we tell anybody? I think we can have this conversation without it evolving as guilt and condemnation, because I'm not guilt tripping you and I'm not condemning you. I'm asking you why it is that you think what you have is so wonderful, yet you don't think it's wonderful enough to share it with anybody. And don't tell me you're afraid. Because there was a moment when Brad didn't think these two were coming back, right? Or Brett, I'm sorry. I called you Brad last night. It's stuck now, all right? Brett. There was a moment when Brett didn't think y'all was coming back. And I was wondering if you were coming back. I was about to stalk you. You see what I'm saying? You only just come in here and then just leave and don't talk to me on the way out after we shook hands. Web to web, that's right. Look. I think it's safe to say that none of us has ever raised $2 million to build a church. And since we don't have many wealthy people in this congregation, the money to build the church probably won't come from our salaries. So where are the ideas on how we raise $2 million so we can put a two-story building, Mac building on that property? Where is it? Where are the ideas about how we get the homeless people out of our barns on that property and get them out of there and get them stopped shooting up on our property? What are we waiting for? We're in as nice a hotel as we can be in. We have a pretty good singer. We have great teaching, and yet it isn't sufficient to attract. Yet, get a building and a band and teach nothing, and you can attract 20,000 people on three campuses and get them to tithe a tenth of their salary. There's something wrong with that. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm sick of it. I'm sick of teaching to empty seats. I'll do it. But I think that ought to piss you off just a little bit. Because it pisses me off a lot. It doesn't make sense to me, but it's what happens. So when are we going to come out of the Stone Age in our mentality and decide that our 100 strong with one mind can do something worthwhile? How long do you think you'll be able to keep a pastor without paying a salary? 6 years and running, but how long do you think that's going to go on? She don't even know me. I'm a capitalist. First, I was a capitalist before I became a pastor. I need to get paid. That's not the point. Here's the point. When you're grateful for the Word of God, when you're grateful for God's unconditional love, it shows up in action. It doesn't show up as I don't know how, because none of us know how. We don't know how to build a church, but we're going to do it. Van didn't know how to do video. Caleb didn't know how to do audio. I didn't know how to be a pastor. Denny didn't know how to be a deacon. Still doesn't. Matt hasn't made any church apps before now. June still doesn't know how to develop a process for the development of a music CD even after three CDs. Here's the point. I don't know how it's an excuse that will play in front of the Savior that he asks us what we did with the unconditional love that we received, and we say nothing. I don't think that'll play in front of the Savior. And we are going to meet him. Frankly, he deserves better than we're giving him. So please don't hear this as I'm not pleased with you, because I am. But I think we are an undeployed weapon. I'll take the blame for that up to this point. Because maybe you're just a reflection of me. But I think it's time for us to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we've been called. We've done enough sitting. Sit, walk, and stand. It's time for us to stop sitting. We've done enough sitting. Now it's time to walk. I think it's time for us to live our creed. Here's our creed. Faith, hope, and love abide in the sphere of these things, of these three, but the greatest of these is unconditional love. Faith. Our faith in our God. through our priesthood, where he's teaching us how to be Christians. Hope is our absolute confidence that what he says will actually occur. Love is us turning and reflecting that to a lost and dying world. I think we got the first two down, faith and hope. And now it's time for us to reflect his love in evangelism and bringing people to the accurate word and in building churches, having missionary work and activity. And, you know, to start, we can have little missionary activity. Deacon Elliot and Brielle did missionary activity in Costa Rica. They put together backpacks. They heard about backpacks that you can give to kids in Costa Rica. They put together backpacks and they took them to Costa Rica and gave them to kids. It had a bunch of our stuff in it. That was very cool. It was something simple, but something pretty profound. And, you know, the reaction of one of the ladies that got it, she was really choked up, right? So, God gives us his unconditional love. As recipients of it, he expects us to receive it and then to reflect it, to pass it on to others. And that's exactly what we're going to do. Come and sing. Faith, hope, and love. Grandma.
I'll cling to him, absolutely trusting for.
Thanks, June. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might promote you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back, because God considers your problems to be his responsibility. He cares for you. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for giving us unconditional love. And thank you for the Word of God, which teaches us how to receive unconditional love. And thank you for calling us to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called, meaning to give your unconditional love to others and to reflect your grace to a lost and dying world. And we pray that those who are part of Barah Ministries, the 100 strong, will take the opportunity now to stand together as one mind and to decide out of our own volition how we want to deploy this nuclear weapon called Barah Ministries that you have assembled for your glory to reflect you and to save the lost and to make sure everyone comes to an epinosis knowledge of the truth who comes within our periphery. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your unconditional love, your person, your thinking, your work, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name, amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.